Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
Welcome to Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jessica Balboni.
I'm Jesse Hitt.
And today is Saturday, December 8th, 2018.
Yeah, almost into the double digits of December.
No, we got the date right this week.
Yeah, that's true. The year's almost over.
It is almost
that's
over.
Crazy.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
We're almost in 2020. I mean, 2019.
Yeah, I mean, also we're almost in 2020.
Like, I know.
No need to split hairs here.
No, not at all. Someone's coming upstairs.
Oh, man. Yeah, we're recording at the store on our new audio device.
We have a new audio device. Hey, look, it's Maggie. Do you want to say hi, Maggie?
Hi. Oh, I was like, is the audience saying
hi? No, you're saying hi.
Hi.
Say hi, Maggie.
Hi, Maggie.
Oh, look, the microphone's even picking up. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Do you have a question for us, Maggie?
I do have a question. Do we have any flash posters?
It would be, yes, we do have flash posters in all those big posters that always fall down?
Uh-huh.
That's where they are.
Okay.
Yep.
I might ask for your help in terms of pricing.
It's $7.99. Okay. There you go. There you go. We get a live poster check for Maggie.
It's like
just like you're in the store with us right
now. It's
amazing.
The realism.
Can you believe
it? Flash poster, they're $7.99.
They're $7.99. Perfect Christmas gift.
Yeah.
Or holiday gift.
Ooh, yeah, we gotta keep fighting that war on Christmas.
Fight that war on
Do
Christmas,
not say
guys.
Christmas, say happy
Ever.
Holidays.
No Christmas here, guys.
Not allowed.
Nope. We have lots of candy canes in the window, though.
Yeah.
That's Christmassy.
That's like a non-denominational holiday item.
A candy cane?
Yeah.
No, it's not? It is?
Oh, I mean, I think it's not religious at all.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Unless it is. Maybe
I think it's a little religious.
Like one of the wise men had a cane?
Yeah.
Because he was old?
Yeah. And it was candy colored.
Okay. Ah. Looked like a barber
shop. They gave it to baby
shop.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That was the first thing he got. He got a lot of gifts, I hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shitty ones. Got frankincense. What does a baby want frankincense for?
I mean, it smelled really bad back then.
Oh, that's true.
So I bet that helped.
Yeah.
You know, you got to calm a baby down with something.
Yeah.
You don't want to smell like, you know, goat shit all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Duck shit.
Didn't one of the wise men bring gold and just like showed up all the other ones? He was like, oh, here's something that's actually good.
Yeah, this will be useful.
Yeah.
Unlike this frankincense. He's like, hey, wait a minute. It came in a gold tin. Anyways, Merry almost Christmas.
Yeah,
happy
we're
Hanukkah.
Close. It's Kwanzaa. That time of year. Guys, stop by the store and pick up, do some last minute Christmas shopping.
Yeah, we have, it's not quite last minute yet.
That's true.
We still have some time, and we have lots of cool gifts here, like a mini Zoltar.
Yeah.
That's a great stocking stuffer.
Yeah.
Come get your fortune read.
Yeah.
We were watching Big last night at the brewery.
Oh, sweet, man. Yeah,
people captured their attention. They didn't want to leave.
That is a real, like, big nostalgia movie.
It is, for sure.
Like,
yeah.
Especially, yeah, for our age group, everybody remembers Big.
We never, like, play it with sound there, and people are just, like, reading the subtitles.
Whoa.
And they still, like, wouldn't leave the bar.
Just quietly.
Just,
silently
like,
reading subtitles.
At the screen.
But technically, that lady had sex with a child.
Yeah. It's super weird.
That's,
every time I watch it, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, that's against the law.
It is. She didn't know, though.
Yeah, that's true.
It wasn't her fault. He knew.
Yeah. I guess she was entrapped by this
13-year-old man child. Super weird. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
We read some books this week. I only read a couple. Did you read a couple?
Yeah, I guess technically a couple, like 2.5 comics. I read part of another one.
All right.
So
a lot of stuff came out this week.
Yeah, it was a big week, and then unfortunately just had no time to read comics. Yeah.
We're really trying, though, guys. Yeah. I swear. Let's start with the one we both read, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So Prodigy came out
this
week.
Prodigy number one from Image Comics.
And
Mark
Netflix.
Millar. Raphael Albuquerque. Oh, yeah. Is that... And there's a huge Netflix advertisement on the back. Does that just mean it's already been optioned?
Well, yeah, Netflix owns his soul.
Okay.
Pretty much everything Mark Millar puts out is owned by Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Good for him, I guess. I mean, it's cool. It sets a good precedent for other creators, too, I guess. You can just, like, license your whole universe.
Well, I think because everything was canceled, you know, Disney-wise, Marvel-wise, at this point. They can't put anything else out at this point on Netflix. Now they can do every comic book by Mark Millar, so they have a whole new comic book world out there. But I think a lot of people don't know his stuff that aren't involved in comics. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. People think of like Kingsman and Kick-Ass as movies.
Yeah, they don't know. They don't know it's the Millar world.
Yeah.
Oh, look, Maggie's back
to
join the conversation. What do you think about Millar comics?
Millar comics?
Exactly. That just proves my point right there. I'm just saying in general, though. Like, you weren't, if I just said, you know, a Mark Millar comic?
Nope, not at all.
She does not know Mark Millar.
Ah, there you go.
See, Kick-Ass.
Okay, we get one.
Huck,
there you go, okay. Oh, she's doing it. Mm-hmm. She's doing it, guys.
Wow, look at that.
Just wait, you're going to play this recording.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break.
Yeah, we'll pause real quick.
And we'll word from our sponsor.
I would rather have a day job than be a Pokemon master.
Han Solo is clearly more attractive than Indiana Jones.
I would take the Star Wars trilogy over the Matrix trilogy any time.
The Legend of Zelda versus Super Mario. Who's better in bed, Jafar or Gaston? And would Thanos masturbate with the Infinity Gauntlet or not? Every week, Nerd Rage the Great Debates brings you the funniest comics, writers, and podcasters to settle some of geekdom's most divisive topics. Find us on Spotify or wherever you find podcasts.
Hey, we're back.
We're back.
Wow.
That was a long break.
Man, we had to go get some wrapping paper from next door. It's gift wrapping season.
Yeah. It is gift wrapping season.
Yeah.
That was a lot of wrapping paper.
Yeah, I'm so bad at wrapping gifts. It takes so long and it looks so bad.
Oh, no. It's going to be the worst Christmas ever. They're like, from Santa. And they're like, what elf wrapped this?
Yeah.
The drunk one.
Why is Santa's handwriting the same? As my stepdad's.
Oh, no. That's why you should have written from Santa on it, Jesse.
Oh, that's true.
Why is this handwriting so bad? Again, a drunk elf.
Is Santa part of the war on Christmas? Is it okay? Because he's a Christmas guy, strictly.
Yeah, strictly Christmas.
There's no Hanukkah Santa.
No. Well, I don't know. Is there a Hanukkah Santa?
There should be if there isn't.
What is his name?
Well, like the Hanukkah Harry. That was like a cartoon
thing. Oh, it's Hanukkah Harry.
I think that might have just been a joke. But
no, Harry Donenfeld. That's a Jewish name.
Yeah, totally.
Also one of the owners of DC Comics. Okay.
Oh.
Anyways.
Cool. Prodigy number one.
Yeah.
Mark Millar takes
Mark
place.
Millar.
The cover, we got a bunch of different covers. I took the cool Frank Quitely one of a guy on a motorcycle who's on fire.
Oh, cool.
But one of the covers seemed to imply that this book takes place within the Millarverse, where Kingsman, Kick-Ass, Huck, all those things exist in the same universe, right? Like that's
is that what
has
happens?
He established that?
I don't think so.
The Nemesis? Well, maybe I'm just thinking that because one of the covers had
all
the
Millar
characters on it. Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
I can see that though. Like,
I don't think Jupiter's Legacy could take place in all of
true,
and that's part of the Millarverse.
Yeah,
because that would make no sense at all.
Yeah. Did you see they cast some of that? I guess we can
they
talk
did.
About
We're
that.
We're going to talk
news.
About
okay,
that.
Okay, sweet.
That is going to be part of the news.
Stay tuned, folks.
Stay tuned for the news
for Jupiter's
in the
Legacy
Netflix
casting.
Universe of Mark Millar. Netflix, but
yeah. Now that they've lost all the Marvel stuff,
yeah, that's going to be their new universe.
They're just
going
to make all the Millar properties.
Yeah, there's going to be new superheroes.
Which, like, the Kingsman movies were pretty popular and seemed to be pretty well received.
Did you see the second one?
I did not, no.
I watched it on regular TV.
Yeah.
I think it was on like HBO or something like that. I barely remember anything about it. Like, I remember the end, which is pretty much just like the end of the other one.
Yeah.
Except red hair actress.
Juliette Lewis?
Julianne
Moore?
Julianne Moore, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, she's the bad, she's the villain.
Oh, is she? I really like her.
Yeah, and I liked her as a villain.
Yeah.
And she like sets up like this, you know, perfect 50s world.
Yeah.
Except she like deals hella cocaine.
Okay.
And weapons.
Yeah.
And that was cool. It's like the Golden Circle, I think that's what it's called.
I think it's
the Golden Circle. And she like tattoos gold like rings on her, guys basically. Okay. Yeah. But that was pretty much it. That's all I remember. Yeah. Oh, and they kill his dog. And I hate when they kill their dogs. Yeah. Like, why do they have to be dog killers?
That's the ultimate bad guy move.
It is, to kill the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they kill his dog.
Oh, jeez.
And I loved that dog in the first movie.
Yeah.
And I hated the end of the first movie, too.
Yeah, that was pretty whack.
The fucking ass sex.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
That's kind of a, man, it's a bummer that Mark Millar, like, does sort of tend toward that type of, like, very juvenile.
Yeah.
Like, shock slash edgy shit. Because he is such a talented writer.
He is. Like, Huck didn't have.
Yeah, Huck was fantastic.
No assets in that.
Jupiter's Legacy. I guess I didn't read the full thing, but.
I read all six issues of the first arc anyways. I don't think the second arc is ever coming out.
Yeah.
Thanks, Frank, quietly. but yeah, there was none of that in there either. What I really love right now too is Magic Order.
Ooh, yeah, that's
one of my favorite
series.
About
that.
And that's also gonna eventually come to Netflix.
Sweet.
So I think they're working on that one too.
Nice.
And that one's not even over yet for the comic.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think he can write better.
Yeah. And I thought the first issue of Prodigy was good.
I like this. Yeah, except I think the kids are super weird looking.
Right. I had never seen Raphael Albuquerque is one of my favorite artists, but I'd never seen him draw a child before.
Ooh.
And it is unnerving.
They look like dummies.
Yeah.
Like ventriloquist dummies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you think he did that on purpose because the kids are sort of weird and bad at the beginning?
No.
Yeah.
I think he just draws weird kids.
Yeah, there's some artists like that. They're just like, it doesn't scale. Like, they can't.
No.
They can draw adult proportions really well, but then when you scale them down, they do have sort of that. They look like small, emaciated adults.
Yeah.
They don't really look like children necessarily.
Pinocchio. I guess that's a dummy, too. I'm like, that's all I got from this.
Yeah.
He looks like a puppet. A puppet child.
He has scary eyes.
He has really scary eyes. And he does do some scary things, for sure.
Yeah, that's true. It's about, I mean, our main character, as the title would imply, is a child prodigy.
Yes.
And we meet him when he's at some, like, you know, fancy boarding school.
Like, yeah, prep school.
Wins the polo game with heroics, and then the older kids don't like it and beat him up.
Even though he's on their team.
Yeah. He showed him up.
They showed him up. Yeah, he's a showboater.
Yep.
And he also, he's such a child prodigy that he just performs surgery on his friends. You know, when he's playing doctor, he plays real doctor.
Actual surgery.
This kid had some kind of heart malfunction and he just performs open heart surgery in his bedroom. So there's that.
He has kind of a mean caretaker guy.
Yeah.
Who, you know, writes him, he wants to spur this kid onto greatness. So he writes him out of the will and gives him his inheritance as a dollar.
Yeah.
And he implies that he's preparing him for some larger, greater task in the future.
Mm-hmm. And he obviously makes his money back because he becomes like one of the richest people in the world.
Yeah, becomes sort of like a Tony Stark type character, like a technology tycoon.
Yeah.
Smartest guy in the world type of dude.
Yeah. And like when I got really involved in reading this, just like Mark Millar usually does, he pulls you in on the first issue. He's really, really good at that. He's also like a stunt guy.
Yep.
He does crazy, you know, like just like, yeah, Tony Stark would too, like does crazy stunts, like, jumping over fire and into water and all sorts of weird stuff. And then we also have to have like a villain type, deal
after all that too.
You need a bad guy. We don't know who that bad guy is yet. This is the one weird thing. There's all these cars and they find like dead rats or fried cats in, them or something.
There are these cars that sort of
appear
spontaneously
out of
appear, but they manifest themselves inside the bodies of people. So like a person will be walking down the street and go, oh, I got a stomach ache. And then they kind of explode into this futuristic, like Blade Runner-y looking car.
Yeah.
I thought
that was very, that was a storytelling problem I kind of had a hard time with. I had to read that a few times because I was like, where did the animals come from?
Yeah, that threw me off too. And they kind of explain it at the end, and it still feels like one of those overly complicated plot devices.
Yeah.
Where, because it turns out, spoiler alert, guys, so skip ahead 30 seconds if you don't want to hear how the first issue ends.
Yeah.
If you're intending to read it and you don't want to have it spoiled, skip ahead. But if you're not going to read it anyway, just go ahead and listen to it.
Yeah, listen to us.
Turns out there's like a parallel dimension Earth that has figured out how to like cross over into our world, and they were using the cars with the animals in them as like a test, I guess, or like how we sent chimpanzees into space.
Right.
They send like, they look like large rodents into our world, but they're in the trunks of these cars that explode into people.
We think.
Maybe they'll explain it down the line. Maybe they have to use like a person in our reality as like an anchor point for an object to transfer or something like that. Because
that
when we find out like a spaceship full of humans from the other dimension has been discovered, but the humans didn't survive the transfer.
Right.
But it looks like they're getting ready to stage an invasion of our reality.
Which I don't understand why they would want to do that. Because I mean, maybe their Earth is dying. Maybe that's
That'd
something
be cool
like
if
that.
He worked in some elements like that.
But our Earth is dying too. It's like, it's not much better, guys.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. But it's going to be overpopulated. So, like, why do you want to bring your shitty people over here?
Maybe they're good guys. Maybe they're coming to save us.
Oh, maybe. That'd be a good twist. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Probably not, though.
Yeah, Mark Millar's not heavy on social commentary in his comics.
No, not really. Yeah. Like, what happened to Reborn at the end? Like, no, that wasn't really
Oh, I forgot that was him, too. He's really prolific.
He is. He does a lot of stuff and a lot of different type of stuff, too.
Yeah. I liked Reborn also.
Yeah, Reborn was good, too. Yeah, and it wasn't too, like, God-like or anything. Like, I thought it was going to get like Jesus-y or something on me, and it didn't.
Yeah,
really.
A lot of his stories seem to revolve around the themes of like the world is fucked up, man.
Yeah,
and it's all just random and there's no meaning.
Yeah,
and everything's crazy, which is fine. Yeah, that's
fine.
Cool.
Yeah. And Jupiter's Legacy didn't really have much.
Yeah.
Well, there's a little bit of social commentary in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I can't really think of anything else. Definitely.
Yeah, that's why I felt like Huck was such a departure, because like, it's like, oh, this good guy is just out there being good.
He's just being good.
And it's important to be good for the sake of being good.
He's just a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so we'll see if that happens at this.
Yeah, we'll see if this
maybe?
One, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, this guy doesn't seem great.
No, he sort of seems like a little bit amoral.
Yeah.
Like just ambitious and that's all.
Yeah, the Tony Stark thing is a good comparison for sure.
He's sort of good by default.
Right, right. Yeah. Or maybe he's like a little bit of a sociopath, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could see that. We'll find out. You could definitely pick up issue one. We have a ton of them.
Yeah, it's good. And I'm intrigued by the first issue. I'm going to give it a shot. Not just because it's one of my favorite artists and a writer that I've historically really liked.
Yes. out this week for number one, we have DC bringing back Shazam.
Ooh, just in time for the movie.
Yeah, that'll be out January? February? I don't know, something like that. March. It's coming out early next year. So they are definitely kicking off the new world here. There's nothing really new, not too new in this book. They give you a good recap in the beginning of who Shazam is, so you do not have to read anything.
Yes, so if you're not familiar with the character at all.
Yeah, you could just definitely pick this up. And Jeff Johns is writing this, so they are getting your top writer.
Yep.
Dale Eaglesham is drawing it, so another really, really great artist on it. Though I didn't think this was Dale Eaglesham's like best work, maybe. He kind of had to like rush through this a little bit again. This is weird kid week, guys.
Yeah.
Definitely weird kid week.
This is a kid-heavy comic, too, because our main character is a kid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they look a little strange again.
Yeah.
Not as bad as I think in Prodigy. But
yeah, they're not unnerving.
Yeah.
So that's something.
No. But a little funny looking. So we get a good description in the beginning. Where Billy Batson comes from, of his friends, and where he lives. So if you don't know, like Billy Batson, you know, is adopted, or lives in a foster home, I should say, with a bunch of other kids.
Yep, bunch of characters.
Yeah, bunch of characters.
Nice little ensemble friendship scene.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess all of them can already turn into The other Shazam family characters, which I actually don't know all of their names, so that would be a good trivia question for everyone. Yeah.
Shazam,
who is everyone in the Shazam family?
Kaboom.
Thunder Guy.
Booyah. He's the urban the urban Shazam.
Oh.
Well, isn't you were saying too that like Shazam's an acronym, right?
Oh, yeah.
For something. So does everyone have their own acronym?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know about that. I know.
Enough fucking words in the Shazamiverse.
But you guys should definitely find out right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you the answer to a trivia question in the future. So listen up, guys. So Shazam's name is an acronym.
Mm-hmm.
It means Solomon, Hercules, mm-hmm. Atlas, mm-hmm. Zeus, Achilles, mm-hmm. and Mercury.
Okay. So a lot of different gods.
Yeah, it's all the gods.
Okay.
Because he has the wisdom of Solomon, the mm-hmm. strength of Hercules, the stamina of Atlas, mm-hmm. the power of Zeus, the courage of Achilles, and the speed of Mercury.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Notice how they mix the Roman names and the Greek names.
Yeah,
up
they're
there
all
too.
Over the place.
They're all over the place with that.
Yeah.
They're just like, that was convenient.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're the same gods, really. They're just...
And is he's like the leader of the Shazam family, or are they all sort of equally powered?
No, he's definitely the strongest one, because they can't all have those really
Well, the Black
strong
Adam
powers.
Is like his... Nemesis, right?
He is,
sort of.
Yeah.
And he's like as strong.
He is as, yeah, he is. I wonder what his acronym is.
Boris. Leviathan. Adam, also.
Yeah, also.
The first say also stands for Adam.
Also Atlas.
Charles, Kevin.
Oh, you could also have Mercury. Charles.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be a god.
Charles Atlas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
he
that
has
works.
The power of Charles Atlas yeah. and the charm.
He has the transformative, isometric strength building power of Charles Atlas.
There you go.
Can turn anyone from a 90-pound weakling into a guy who won't get sand kicked in their face anymore.
I mean, he did promise it. As soon as you order that book,
yeah.
you'll be just as strong. Only a dollar.
It's a pretty good deal.
It is a good deal. So yeah, all of him and his friends can turn into the Shazam family.
Mm-hmm.
I love that they do this trick that they've done in a few other comics, I believe in Marvel comics too, where all of the mm-hmm. bad guys are wearing Justice League masks.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
It's pretty cute. they also call themselves the Six Captain Sparklers.
Mm, okay.
Or the Quintuples. What? I don't know. They're trying to like decide on their superhero name.
Is it Quintuple 5?
Yeah. I don't know.
Sextuple would be 6.
Yeah, they're a little confused.
Yeah.
They do mention that too. Also the Lightning League.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Lots of names flying around here. I was like, just who are these people?
Yeah.
I didn't even know any of them.
Yeah.
Except for Mary Marvel. I know who Mary Marvel is. I know who Shazam Jr. No, Captain Marvel Jr. Can they call him Captain Marvel Jr.? They can't now, right?
Right. He's not the child of
No,
Captain.
That's his name.
Oh,
but they
really?
Can't use Captain Marvel anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe so, Captain Marvel Jr. is okay.
Maybe just Marvel?
Regular Captain Marvel?
Maybe.
Junior Marvel?
Junior Marvel?
But this, I thought they did. Jeff Johns, obviously, I mean, Jeff Johns like a master storyteller, like a master of the comic book arts.
Mm-hmm.
But the first, like this, for a first issue, like, perfectly structured.
Yeah, it was really like, jam-packed.
Yeah, they like introduce the main character, introduce mm-hmm. the setting, introduce his team, they find a hideout, they get a mission,
uh-huh.
and then twist at the end.
Yes.
Like a classic.
It is a classically structured comic.
Yeah, nice job, Jeff Johns. If you're out there listening, Jeff, you're doing all right. Okay?
Yeah, God, if you're listening to our podcast, Jeff Johns, please, by all means, let us know.
Yeah, you want
to
be a guest?
Yeah, that would be great. Best guest ever. No, we have a lot of great guests.
That's
I won't
true.
Say that, yeah. there's a lot of duck faces in this comic, too. Dale Eaglesham has, like, a thing with duck faces,
I noticed. Yeah.
A lot of kissy facing going on, especially with that blonde one. What is his name? Thunderbolt Ross? No, that's somebody else. I think they call him, like, Lightning Lad. No, that's somebody else, too.
Thunder Guy.
Sexy.
Thunder
sexy
lips.
Thunder Guy. I don't know. Thunder Trunks. But yeah, it was really cute.
Yeah.
Definitely, we get some really classic, just like 8 panels on one page of like all the kids eating together.
Yeah.
Really cute family structure. Yeah, like you said, they discover like a new station. We get like a their new hideout. We found a new place called the Magic Lands, which I don't think has ever been in a Shazam comic before.
Ooh, first appearance.
Yeah, the Magic Lands. And then a really cool twist at the end, which we will not spoil. You should just pick up and read it.
Yeah. And it's a good superhero comic. Like, hits all the right notes, all the sort of classic tropes, and it's like fun without being sort of corny or cheap. Or, like, I guess fun's not, like, lighthearted kind of.
Definitely.
In a way that a lot of DC stuff used to be, and then everything got super dark after Batman movie was successful.
Yes.
And now it's nice to see it like, oh, yeah, okay, this could be fun.
Right. And I could definitely give this to a kid.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Which I'm glad we can do that again. Like, we did Ironheart. We covered Ironheart last week. And we said, oh, we could definitely give this to kids. And now we have another one from DC. And we can give this to a kid, too, and not feel bad about it. Be like, I don't know. Like, feel iffy, you know?
And also not feel like you can give it to, like, a teen, too. And they're not going to be, like, bored by it.
Right.
It's not going to be too corny.
Yeah, exactly. Not going to feel like it's too young for them as well.
Listen, kids, you don't need to pick up that Deadpool.
Yeah.
Shazam instead.
Yeah, exactly. So good job, guys. Well, we also had a X-Men.
Yeah, there was the X-Men holiday. What's it called?
Merry Christmas holiday special.
Merry X-Men. Yeah, the Merry X-Men holiday special.
X-Men.
Which is a big old anthology issue. $4.99. It has like 8 different stories.
I think it has a story for every day.
Oh, that makes sense.
December.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like an advent calendar for X-Men.
Like just these little one-page stories.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them really good, some of them not so good.
That is true.
A lot of interesting writers and artists teaming, too. Like Jean Grey, the rapper and sort of media personality, wrote one of them. Styles P., who's like another music guy, I think.
Styles P.
And then you also got Chris Claremont in there, Ed Brisson, Charles Soule, like the whole Marvel stable, basically.
Oh yeah, I saw Charlemagne.
Yeah, Charlemagne the God.
Yeah,
Colin Bunn. Chris Sims wrote a couple of them actually. With Kelly Thompson is in there.
Mm-hmm.
And like just great. Chip Zdarsky does one that he writes and draws. Al Ewing. PJ Holden drawing him, Marcio Takara, who I wasn't familiar with, but who's the Braddock story I really enjoyed. Yeah, it was cool. It was like half good and half not so good.
And the Blob story.
Yeah, the Blob story was very cute.
It's adorable.
Ed Brisson and drawn by Perry Perez.
That's really
colored
cute.
Colored by Chris Sotomayor.
And there's no words, but it's very, very meaningful.
Yeah. Some of the stories were really great. And I think it's worth at least checking out.
Yeah.
At least thumb through it.
Yeah.
Your local comic book store.
It's really cute for like, I mean, I know it's $4.99, so it is a little spendy.
Yeah.
But it is a cute little like advent calendar kind of idea. Like read one story a day for Christmas for X-Men. That's kind of cute.
Yeah.
No chocolate involved, but.
A good stocking stuffer for the X-Men fan in your life.
For sure. Anything else? We have another pile.
This one is I read Self-Made Number One from Image, which I'd seen a preview of in the back of another Image book and was sort of intrigued by it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I picked it up, like the preview, I had forgotten that it was called Self-Made. And the preview, like the first couple pages, it's like sort of a medieval fantasy adventure where we encounter this character and they're about to make their sort of heroic last stand against this overwhelming horde of a unbeatable, super powerful enemy. And then one page later, the battle's over and it's like a time jump and they've clearly lost. Mm-hmm. But the main character comes to and she's like the only one that survived this encounter.
Okay.
And then a new character's introduced and he's like, hey, you fought that evil army, huh? Wow, they always beat everybody. Well, let's go fight them together. Mm-hmm. And it looks like that's where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's confusing. Why would it be called Self-Made? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But then we find out at the very end of the first issue. And again, spoiler alert, I highly recommend picking up this book. But actually, this won't like ruin it if I give away. So the twist at the end is that the person we thought was the main character is actually an NPC, a non-playable character in this super advanced virtual reality video game that they're developing. And the person that meets the main, who we thought was the main character when she comes to, the guy that's like, hey, let's go fight this army together. That's the game tester.
Oh.
And they're trying to figure out why this NPC is becoming like self-aware, basically.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool twist at the end. I think it's going to be a cool story.
Oh.
And like jumping back and forth between the future video game testing world and the world of the game itself.
Right. So it's like an AI, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're trying to figure out why this AI keeps interfering with the game, basically.
Ooh, creepy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ugh, I don't like AIs at all or where that's going.
Well, in this, it looks like the AI is kind of the good guy.
Yeah.
And the game tester is kind of this, like, kind of boorish, sort of Neanderthal type dude who's kind of, yeah, you kind of don't like him all the way through. And then you find out that, like, oh, the cool character that I was sympathetic to is actually just a video game character.
Yeah, yeah.
And the kind of a-hole sidekick that nobody likes
is the game tester.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
So a really cool twist at the end. And I definitely recommend checking it out.
Ooh, cool.
Two really good
we'll
covers.
Check it out. Who wrote it?
I don't know. It's somebody I was not familiar with.
Uh-huh.
Matt Groom.
Matt Groom.
Artist Eduardo Ferragato. And colors by Marcelo Costa.
Oh, Ferragato?
Is that how you say that?
No, that's Duncan Ferragato.
Ferragato?
No, that's somebody else.
Oh.
Ferragato?
Yeah,
okay.
F-E-R-I-G-A-T-O.
Oh, okay, cool.
But yeah, self-made number one. Pick it up.
Sweet.
Get the Hero Initiative cover, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The proceeds from that go to help comic book creators in need.
Yep.
And Image did a couple of those cool covers this month.
Yeah, they did. Awesome. All right, let's take a quick break again.
Yeah. Well, there's one other idea.
Oh, I'm sorry, you did. Okay.
Well, I wanted to recommend it even though I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but it looks like the new Martian Manhunter run.
Oh, with Riley Rossimo.
Ooh, Riley Rossimo drawing it, Steve Orlando writing it. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be great. I've only had a chance to like flip through it so far.
God,
but I'm
poor Martian Manhunter. I hope that it sells well.
I know.
Because they keep trying to bring them back.
Yeah.
And then it keeps not working out.
And
but didn't Steve Orlando already write Martian? Yeah, he wrote the last one.
I think he did the last one. Yeah,
yeah, which
good.
We really liked.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one with the grasshopper guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The big, the evil Martian.
What was his name? Mr.
Oh, I don't remember, but yeah.
Not Mr. Fix-It. That's the Hulk.
Mr. It was one.
Oh,
it was a
it was
single
like Mr.
word.
Cookie. It was like a cookie-related thing. Yeah. Like, Mr. Biscuits?
I think it was Mr. Biscuits.
Yeah.
He liked the biscuits.
Yeah. He loved the biscuits.
Yeah.
Oh, I liked that run.
Yeah. And this
really
one, more of the same. I, you know, they renumbered it to number one, so maybe it has nothing to do with the previous events, but
yeah.
Looks like it's going to be cool. Riley Rossimo drawing Martian Manhunter is going to be tight.
It's going to be really cool. Yeah. All right. Quick break, and we'll be right back.
If you enjoyed the show, tell a friend and rate and review on iTunes or Stitcher.
Or come visit us at the store at Escapist Comics. We're located at 3090 Claremont Ave in Berkeley, California.
Or you can find us online at escapistcomics.com or on Twitter at Escapist Comics or send us an email at hello@escapistcomics.com. Put podcast in the subject line.
You can find Jesse on Twitter or Instagram at Jesse the Head.
And you can find Jessica on Twitter at Violet's Victory or on Instagram at Jessa Rossi.
Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
Hey, we're back.
Still
trying to figure out this recording hardware.
Yeah, we have a new recorder.
Luckily, I've managed to not completely erase everything.
Yay!
So we just have a lot of extra stuff. A
lot of extra
stuff. Always better to have too much than not enough.
Yes. So, okay, news. It's news time.
Yeah.
We still need news music.
Yeah, that's true. We should get a jingle.
That's my news. That's my news jingle for now.
Yeah. She went with like a hot helicopter noise in the background. Like the news chopper.
I can't do that. Yeah. I'm not that guy. Get Michael Winslow. Police Academy movies. Yeah. Michael Winslow. Is he still alive?
He is, yeah. Oh, okay. And he still does stuff. Like it's sort of a version. I almost called it like stand up, but it really isn't. It's just him making crazy noises. He kind of like invented like his own thing.
Stand up. Yeah. It's comedy. Like, is it like what prop comedy, but with noises?
Kinda, yeah. So he just like tells a story and does all of the sound effects also.
That makes sense.
And it's not particularly funny other than the fact that it's a guy making a crazy ass face while he makes a helicopter noise.
That's funny.
But yeah, sure.
It's a skill.
Yeah. It's impressive for sure.
Definitely impressive. So there's a lot of stuff that happened during this week. Last night I got home and it was like, Avengers trailer, watch it now.
Yeah.
Like in bed quietly trying to watch it while Mark was asleep, like putting my ear up to my phone. I was like, what is Iron Man saying in that ship?
Yeah.
Luckily I watched it again like twice today.
Nice.
So it's called Endgame. They released the name of it.
Maybe they're going to kill off Iron Man because Robert Downey Jr. doesn't want to be Tony Stark anymore.
Yeah, his contract's over after this movie. So I think Captain America's contract is over as well.
Yeah.
But I don't think they can kill Captain America. I guess they could freeze him again.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely killed like most, like 50% of the Marvel characters in Infinity War. But we know they're going to bring them all back in Endgame.
So. Yeah.
So that's what they're going to do. And so in this preview, it's a short 2-minute, 12-second preview or something like that. I'll do a quick breakdown of it, I guess, for you right now.
Yeah.
We're going to do. So we see, what do we see in that trailer?
Iron Man's out in space.
Right.
He's about to run out of oxygen.
Right.
He's recording. He's using his Iron Man mask to record a message to Pepper Potts, who he loves.
Yes.
How did he get in space? He went out to try to get Thanos?
Yeah. They went with Star-Lord and all of them, and they're going to go kill Thanos, of course.
Yep.
It doesn't work out. But Doctor Strange had a plan, and he needed to keep Tony alive to make that plan fortuitive for the future.
Right.
So yeah, now he's floating in space. We know he's going to survive somehow.
Yeah.
He's Tony Stark. He'll figure it out.
He'll use technology, I bet.
Yeah, I'm sure. Something with his helmet.
He loves technology. That's the thing about that guy.
He'll hook his heart to the ship or something like that and power it up. I don't know.
Or maybe someone else will save him. Like maybe that's where Captain Marvel comes in.
Yeah.
And saves the day.
Yeah, where has she been?
Yeah, true. I mean, speaking of movie trailers, she's got her own movie trailer out this week also.
I think. So, I mean, that has to be some kind of,
all
be in conjunction. They have to figure that out. She's not in this trailer, though.
True.
I was hoping we'd see her, but they're not going to release that quite yet. We also see Captain America in this trailer. Mm-hmm. For the first time we see him, he's clean shaven and crying.
Yeah, he's upset.
He's sad. We also see Black Widow.
Yeah, Black Widow's got a new hairstyle.
Yes.
Did she have the short blonde hair?
She was blonde
in the last one.
It was confusing. Why does she have blonde hair? I guess she's a spy.
Yeah.
Changes her hair sometimes.
Right, yeah. I didn't even recognize her. I was like, who is that lady? Scarlett Johansson.
It's Ghost in the Shell. She's still Japanese.
Yeah. Who is this Japanese woman with blonde hair? What's going on here?
She's playing Akira next, I heard. So. And then we also see Paul Rudd.
Yeah, Ant-Man. Makes an appearance. Old Scotty Lang.
He's knocking on the door. He's so charming. Last time we saw him, he was in the new Ant-Man Wasp movie. He was shrinking down further and further and further into the quantum realm.
We thought he was maybe going to die from it.
Yeah. Or just like shrink forever.
Disappear, yeah.
Yeah. But maybe not. Somehow he gets out of the quantum realm, and I guess people are kind of saying maybe there's going to be like a time jump in the quantum realm. Because that's what you can do in there. There's going to be some kind of time shift.
Yeah. You get so small that you go forward in time or something.
More backwards and then forwards again. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, so somehow he has to get out of there but no one knew he was there because they all died.
Right, yeah.
They all disappear at the end of the movie.
So he made it through.
He made it through somehow.
Who did it? So Black Panther, Spider-Man.
Doctor Strange. Star-Lord.
Did Loki die? Did we see Loki die? Because Thor's still around.
I think Loki did die.
Okay. His Star-Lord disappeared.
But Loki is really good at not dying, so he could still be alive somehow. He's really good at tricking people. He's dead.
He is the god of mischief.
Yeah.
He's so mischievous.
He is mischievous. Thor is alive. Thank God for that. Yeah. I don't think I could go through an Avengers movie without Thor.
He is a really fun character.
Yeah. Oh, Hulk is still alive. We see him in the trailer very briefly.
Yep.
Hawkeye is alive.
Hawkeye's
back. Yeah, we didn't even see him in the last movie. Yeah. I'm going to guess all his kids are dead, and he's sad.
Well, at least half of them are dead. He's going to be pissed.
Maybe just the whole gambit, though.
Ooh, yeah, maybe his wife, too.
Oh, yeah.
And we see him. He doesn't have his trademark bow and arrow, but he does have a cool sword.
And a sad face.
Yeah. I thought it was Gamora at first, because he had that cool-ass sword. And she's always got some kind of cool sword.
He just, like, completely changed his character. Yeah, he's like, got this is now Gamora. She's now an old white dude.
Yeah.
Old man Gamora.
Well, she's like Thanos' kid, right? So she's got a...
Well, she's adopted kid.
Okay.
That's the other one.
She's going to come back. Oh, yeah, the extra mean one.
Karen
the
Gillan.
The purple lady. Yeah.
Yeah. I think she's alive still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, did Gamora die? I don't even remember now.
I don't remember. I got to go back and rewatch Infinity War.
Yeah, I only saw it once.
Yeah, me too.
We'll have to rewatch when it comes out. Oh, it's already out. We'll rewatch that.
Yeah,
there.
It's out digitally.
Yeah.
It's out on Blu-ray.
Yeah, you can get
Blu-ray DVD.
Go pick it up at Target.
I can get a laser disc of Infinity War.
Yeah, we just found out that laser discs still exist.
Yeah, that's
you can
crazy.
Buy them in Japan. Go to Japan and buy a laser disc of Infinity War. Watch all those extra slow credits.
Yeah.
So yeah, Captain Marvel's preview also dropped this week. The new second trailer.
Yeah, Brie Larson looking pretty cool.
She looks awesome.
Jude Law
looking pretty angry for some reason.
He has a mean face.
He does have a mean face, and he's balding a little bit. It's sad. So yeah, she's in her green Kree uniform most of this trailer. We also see her with her classic mohawk hair, lighting up the sky, looking pretty awesome.
Flying around in space.
Has Kree green blood. They hint that she's also like half human, half Kree, that they've done experiments on her to change her to be more powerful and more supreme.
Yeah, like they found a human body with no memory or anything, and they like implanted a bunch of Kree stuff into her, probably.
Yeah.
You see, Nick Fury with both eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow. Yeah. Now, what happened there? Do you know?
War.
But, so this is like pre losing the eye.
Yes.
So this is like going to be.
I guess. Though original Nick Fury lost his eye in the war.
In World War II.
In World War II.
With the Howling Command. Like before he took command of the Howling Commandos.
Right.
So, he's always had an eye patch, right?
Yeah. So.
I wonder, what happened? Did he
go to Nam instead?
But it's
in the 90s.
Yeah, they're flying like F-16s or F-14s.
Yeah, so maybe he goes to...
Grenada?
I don't know.
Desert Storm?
Desert Storm?
Desert Storm?
Isn't that... He's
already like a super high up... I don't know. Maybe he'll lose his eye in the movie.
Yeah, I guess so. It seems kind of late.
Yeah.
He should definitely have lost that eye already.
Yeah. And it seems like if they're going to do something that... sort of visually obvious that it's going to have to be a plot point.
For sure.
Some point. Like there's going to be an incident where Nick Fury loses his eye.
Yeah. Maybe she'll cause him to lose his eye.
Ooh, maybe she pokes his eye out.
Yeah.
Maybe she does the got your nose except with his eye. She doesn't know our earthly ways.
No.
You're not supposed to pull people's eyes out.
I also, of course, the internet trolls went all over Captain Marvel this week, as per usual.
Yeah.
And they're like, Brie Larson has no facial expressions whatsoever.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, what? You know she won an Oscar, right?
Yeah.
For a movie called The Room.
Yeah.
That was 2 years ago. That was really recent.
Yeah. People are always going to find something to complain about.
It's just very strange that that's what they picked up on entire trailer. Like, not her punching old ladies in the face
that
or anything.
That was so rad.
It was really cool,
scene.
Though.
Oh,
I mean, obviously, it wasn't a real old lady, guys.
Yeah, it was a Kroll? Wait.
Skrull.
Skrull, there
she
you go.
She is Kree.
See?
I know, it's hard.
Those words are too similar.
They're very similar.
I feel like. And
Kroll is also another movie.
Oh, yeah, Kroll. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Which I love that movie.
Totally.
It's totally
and
bad.
And then there's Kroll the Conqueror, also.
Yeah.
The guy who lives in, like,
that's
the Conan universe or whatever.
Even more confusing.
Yeah, it's like
Kull the Conqueror.
Yeah.
Conan.
Kull and Bun. That's a guy.
He's a guy that never writes us back. One day.
He's so
talented. You on the show, Conan?
Yeah.
No.
It is. They should have called him something more different. the Korean scroll because it's the same noise, basically. So confusing.
Yeah.
Hard to keep them
straight. They're just like yelling out things, though, like noises.
Yeah.
Until something's stuck.
Marvel writer's room just coked out of their minds, making crazy noises.
Yeah.
Coming up with a new name for alien races.
Ska is actually a name of an enemy, too. In the Conan world, I believe.
Whoa, yeah. The skanking villain. The horn section, bad guy.
Oh, my God.
This is the Skrull, Kree are the good guys.
Yes.
Skrull are the shape-shifting bad guys.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who also, some of them are good guys, because they're not all
Skrulls?
Yeah, there's some good Skrulls, right? Some nice ones?
No.
Oh.
No, Skrulls are all bad.
Oh, really?
I don't think there's ever been a good Skrull.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
You would think, I don't know.
And there's some bad Krees, too, I believe.
Yeah, right? There should be bad. Well, like in the trailer, they're like, oh, the Kree were like, a race of warriors. It's like everyone's a warrior. Like,
pretty much.
Who like does the laundry and stuff? Like, you know, like janitors. Like, you gotta have.
There has to be somebody that's not a warrior.
Who builds their spaceships? You can't have. Maybe they're just like all are great multitaskers.
Yeah, probably.
And they're full time warriors.
I mean, everyone has to sign the draft. They're not like here. Like, women have to do the draft.
Yeah,
men have to do the draft. Babies.
Yeah.
Everyone has a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Equal rights.
But wait, what about the young Avengers boy Hulk?
Yeah.
Who turns out to be a Skrull, right?
Isn't he still bad though?
Oh, was he?
Yeah, and he's like, because there's also the Scarlet Witch one too, and she's bad, and Elektra.
Oh,
and they're all bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that one was. I thought the young Avengers one was a good guy.
Was he
was
a good
like
guy?
A nice Skrull?
No.
Or was he just tricking everyone?
I think he was tricking everybody.
Oh shit!
That's what all those Skrulls did. It was the Skrull War.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Like, if you're a Skrull and your end game is just, like, take over the whole universe, what happens then? They're just going to turn against each other. If they're all bad?
I mean, I think they like each other.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, some of them.
I don't know, man. This
I don't know either.
They're very ugly. I mean, I think we can all agree
Definitely.
They're very gross Thanos-style chins.
I bet they like each other, though.
Okay. I mean, they would have to, right?
Yeah.
They're going to reproduce somehow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know how a Skrull reproduces. I don't want to know.
Yeah. Probably gross. Like a slug.
Also, Spider-Man Enter the Spider-Verse got huge release this week. Everyone loves it. Starting to get nominated for shit, like Golden Globes and whatnot. Though, like, not to be, like, mean or anything, but, like, the Golden Globes and Best Animated Feature, what's really in that category?
Yeah, Wreck-It that's
Ralph,
true.
The second one.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't
see Has there been a Pixar thing this year? Incredibles 2, was that this year?
Mm-hmm. Did you see it?
No, haven't
me either.
Seen it.
I think it's on Amazon Prime now.
Okay,
though, so I will watch it. I heard it was really good.
Last animated, well, I guess I just the Castlevania Netflix series season 2, which was very good.
But that's not going to get nominated.
No, I haven't watched an animated movie in a while.
Doesn't it seem like anything that is animated gets nominated though for best animated feature?
Yeah.
You're like, I think all three of those movies that came out this year were nominated. Though I think there was a lot of animated movies that came out this year.
I mean, the Netflix, like the Justice League stuff that's on Netflix, DC's doing some cool animated.
I think it has to be released in a theater though.
Oh, okay.
For it to
that
be nominated.
Sense.
Yeah. So, but anyways, I'm excited to see the Enter the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, it looks dope.
It looks really good. Jason Latour said it's the best superhero movie ever.
Yeah, he's psyched about it.
Also worked on it, though.
His Instagram has been exploding with Spider-Man news.
It really has. So we'll definitely go see that soon.
It seems like Marvel's really banking on this to be a big hit, too, because there's like 10 different Spider-Man books out currently, one of which is just a guidebook to the Spider-Verse. Which I think that's a sign that you need to rein it in a little bit, Marvel.
If
you have to put out an entire comic to explain the other 9 comics, it's like, guys.
It is confusing.
Take it easy, a little bit.
I think I kind of needed to look at that because I'm still confused. And I read the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah. I've enjoyed the parts that I've read, too. I'm like, oh, all these different Spider-Mans are cool. I like punk rock Spider-Man. I like Hulk Spider-Man. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if this is necessary.
Oh, and also, like, all the flippers that have come in, too. Like, one came in the other day. Actually, not just one. 3, I should say.
Oh, boy.
And then they all asked me if I had Hawkeye versus Deadpool, which we do somewhere, by the way. I have no idea what box it's in.
Because
I actually bought a lot of that because I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh. And I was like, well, why? Because, you know, if one comes in, it's one thing. But if 3 come in asking for it, you know something's up. And because it turns out that's actually the first appearance of Spider-Gwen.
Oh, the very first.
The very first. Not the Edge of the Spider-Verse. It turns out her first little, like, very first appearance was in that book.
Huh. So now, she's like in the background or something?
Yeah, something like that. And so everyone's looking for that book now.
Oh, interesting. Was that a one-shot?
It was a four-issue miniseries. Okay. But she's a number one, I guess.
Yeah.
I have it.
Yeah, sweet. I think I might, too, somewhere.
Yeah. It was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you do have that book, hold on to it, I guess.
Yeah, bag and board that sucker.
Yeah.
Take good care of it.
I think we gave a bunch of them away, too.
Yeah, so put them outside in the free cart.
Probably. speaking of Spider-Man, I finally saw Venom.
Oh, how was it?
Oh, no.
Oh, not good?
I said I would never pay for it, and I didn't. I, you know, downloaded a torrent copy and watched it with Chinese subtitles.
Oh, okay, sweet.
Yeah. Which didn't make no difference.
Getting the true bootleg experience, like crazy subtitles that I can't understand.
For sure. Tom Hardy is terrible in it.
That's such a shame, because he is a good actor.
He's doing like a quasi New York accent that kind of turns into a Boston accent at one point. Michelle Williams, like, you don't even understand why she's in it most of the time. She literally, like, breaks up with him in the first, like, 20 minutes of the movie. Oh, and by the way, I think it takes almost an hour for him to become Venom.
Oh, no, really?
It's so fucking boring.
They should have just jumped right into that.
Ugh. Like, we're watching it and we're, like, looking, like, at the clock. We're like, how long has this been on? What is happening?
It's just his life as, like, a photojournalist for an hour. Yeah, and, like, pictures
but he's, like, a hardcore photojournalist.
Oh,
in
like
San Francisco.
Oh, really?
And Oakland.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, so there's that. It first came out and we're like, oh, cool. Like, it's here. Like, and he's, like, talking about hard-hitting stories in San Francisco, and it's so stupid.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
He's, like, covering the mayor's ball or something.
Sort of. yes. And then, and he's also not very smart.
Okay.
So, like, but he's trying to play smart.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. And then let's talk about the plot holes in this movie.
Yeah. How does Eddie Brock get the symbiote in the movie?
They get to this, you know, their lab, right? Mm-hmm. Where this guy has taking the symbiotes from space, and then he's, like, testing them on homeless people that he gets off the street in Oakland in San Francisco.
Classic,
yeah, right? And so Eddie Brock finds out about it, and he wants to stop him, but this guy is, like, super rich and super powerful, and ends Eddie Brock's career as a photojournalist.
Okay.
And, or online, sorry, photojournalist, too,
like
by
a TMZ
way.
Type of guy.
Yeah, but, like, hard-hitting, like Vice. He's, like, a Vice news guy. Make it more like rock star style. Jeez. Yeah, so he ends his career, breaks up his relationship. So now his life is over. He can barely make any money. And then one of the scientists finds out that, you know, they're really killing people there. And she goes back to Eddie Brock and is like, you have to help me. Like, he's really killing people here. And, you know, we're going to break this story together.
Yeah.
Ugh, God. And so, yeah, they go in there. And then the Venom symbiote finds him and latches on to him.
Okay.
And that's basically how he gets the symbiote.
And they have the team of bad guy Venoms, too.
Just the one.
Toxin? Or...
Yeah, it's just Riot that's there.
Oh, just Riot. Okay.
Yeah, because they didn't have enough money to do all of them.
Yeah. Oh, it's a shame, because the lady one with the crazy hair was cool.
Well, and we kind of get a lady one very briefly, which makes absolutely no sense. So this is the science I'm about to explain to you. Mm-hmm. Bad science.
Yeah.
So in the beginning of the movie, they explain that the symbiotes have to have the perfect host.
Yeah.
Or else it basically destroys its host if it doesn't make that match.
Yeah.
Okay. Then it shows it, like, bonding to a rabbit, and it's perfect, right? This rabbit is its perfect host.
Yeah.
Okay? Then it goes to this homeless person. It's not the perfect host. It, like, destroys the homeless person and dies, right? The homeless guy dies. Okay, then it finds Eddie. Eddie is the perfect host.
Yeah.
And bonds to him, and Venom, like, talks to him and tells him all of this stuff, and it's like, oh, you're my perfect host.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, they throw all of that out the window, and it can bond to anything.
Oh, cool.
And it's just jumping from host to host.
Yeah.
Makes no sense whatsoever. It, like, bonds to Michelle Williams.
Yeah.
Venom does.
So we get to see, like, the Bride of Venom for a second.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Because that's what they want to do. They're like, oh, we want to use more of these special effects and make it cooler.
Yeah.
And it gets to be sexy Venom for a minute. And
yeah.
Yeah. It was,
were the effects at least good?
They're okay. Yeah. Okay. It was fine. But it had so many, like, terrible holes in it that I didn't care at that point.
Yeah.
It was so boring and so dumb. and you could barely understand what he was saying half the time.
Yeah, that accent was bad. Ugh. Even just from the trailer, you can tell.
You just had to like lean like forward and be like, what?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I wonder if he shot that right after he finished doing Peaky Blinders, because he has a similar voice in Peaky Blinders. So maybe he was just like in that mode.
Maybe.
And everything was like, oh, I'm a venom and I'm going to take a picture of him and then. And then I'm going to pick you up and put it on.
Bite his head off.
Yeah. Follow me on Instagram. It's at Eddie Brock.
God, it was so bad. Yeah.
And I guess Venom, like this, the whole symbiote mythology in the comics has also been kind of all over the place
for a very long time.
And now Donny Cates is getting extremely out there with it.
With the sword, the symbiote sword. I'm glad I took that out.
He's a devil from space.
Is he a devil from space now?
Sort of, yeah.
He's a sword devil from space.
He's like an ancient being, sort of on par with the Asgardians. Who sort of exists in the same.
I hate that so much.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. He's like fighting.
Can he just be an alien?
Thor. Right, yeah. It seems that's enough. That's plenty of backstory.
He can just be an alien from an alien planet that likes to reproduce. Like, they kind of explained that, which was cool. But, you know, they're going to. Oh, yeah. That was a cool part, too. No. They want to infest the world. Yeah. So Venom's like a bad guy, right? Originally.
Yeah.
Venom is bad. Okay, then all of a sudden, Venom is not bad in this. He wants to, like, eat people and do all that and destroy. And Riot wants to take over the world and bring all of the symbiotes back to take over the world. That's what that was their plan, to reproduce.
Okay.
And that was kind of the thing in the original comics, too. The symbiotes want to reproduce, right?
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, more or less, anyways. Yeah. So Venom was a part of that too. And then all of a sudden, he doesn't want to do that anymore. He's like, "Oh, I like you, Eddie Brock. Like, we're gonna hang out together. And I want to stay here. I like Earth. Like, Earth is cool." And we're like, "Okay, sure." He's like, "I just want to bond with you. And I was a loser on my world."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Okay." He's like, "So we're just gonna work together."
Yeah.
And you're like, "What?" but it's literally like, again, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And he just like turns against his buddies and then becomes a hero.
Yeah.
That was the arcing twist.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Which they kind of did in the comics. Like they did establish
that. But it took a really long time.
Yeah.
And he had to like become, didn't he go to Flash Thompson before he became good too?
Yeah, was imprisoned by the government and used as sort of a mindless suit for Flash Thompson. And they had to restrict the amount of time they spent together so that the symbiote wouldn't fully bond with him.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they originally bonded. I mean, Eddie Brock and the symbiote bonded over their mutual hatred of Spider-Man / Peter Parker.
Right.
Because the first symbiote wanted to be Peter Parker, wanted Peter Parker as the host, and then he rejected the symbiote, and then the symbiote found Eddie.
Right.
After Eddie had lost his job because of Peter Parker.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's like.
Yeah. There was no reason for Venom to like, except for that he's this perfect host or whatever.
Yeah.
And there was no reason for him to like Earth. It gave it absolutely no meaning to it.
Hmm.
So this is my hateful disapproval of Venom and how they wrote the worst movie ever. It was really,
that's
really
a shame,
bad.
Man.
Yeah, they could have done so much with it.
Yeah,
it was a good cast. They could have done a great movie with it.
Yeah,
I mean, they had so much material to write with.
Yeah,
they could have just wrote the Rick Remender one and the Flash Thompson book. That would have been great.
Yeah. Or just follow the Lethal Protector storyline sort of more accurately.
Yeah, that's true. They could have done that, too. That they didn't. What else? Oh, yeah. I also watched, which you also watched, The Iron Fist. I watched Iron Fist.
Yeah, season two.
And I liked it. I don't care what people say.
Season two was better than season one.
It was way better than season one. Mm-hmm. It did the whole Daughters of the Dragon.
Yep.
With Colleen Wing and Misty Knight. And I think Danny Rand was barely in that.
Yeah, which was a great move on their part. Really minimized the role of Danny Rand.
Yeah. And spoiler alert, Colleen Wing becomes the Iron Fist at the end of the show. And then they end it.
Yeah.
And then we'll never see it again.
Yeah.
And that fucking blows, man.
Yeah, now all the Marvel properties are off Netflix, so.
I don't know. Maybe they will bring it back on the Disney Channel.
Yeah, and well, they just announced that they're doing the Shang-Chi either movie or series or something, right?
Like the Master of Shang-Chi.
Yeah. So maybe the Iron Fist will make an appearance through there, because like Shou Liao sort of existed in the same universe, and they clashed or teamed up a couple times.
They did, yeah. Master of Kung Fu.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care. I think they should just do a Daughters of the Dragon TV show, because that would be awesome. They were the best. And they even they even like hint at it like towards the end.
Yeah. Ugh. Ooh, they also get bring in the gun shooting Iron Fist.
Oh yeah, that was cool. Yeah. And Typhoid Mary.
That's right. Yeah, Typhoid Mary. She was so good.
She was so
good.
The way
she switched her voice, like, that actress did a fantastic job.
She was awesome. She's like a whole reason just to watch that show.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, season two, even if you didn't see season one or if you watched two episodes of season one and bailed in a completely understandable
move. Oh, yeah, totally understandable.
Check out season two.
Yeah.
It's significantly better.
It's way better. I watched it in 2 days.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like a lot of watching, but yeah. Also, they could bring Typhoid Mary back into Punisher, too.
Right?
I heard Punisher's still coming back.
Right, because they still have the second season. Mm-hmm. Either they're working on it or they are still going to do a season two.
And Jessica Jones
maybe
as well.
Maybe it's already done.
I think they're still filming it.
They just haven't released it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Daredevil, I think we also talked about that, too. It was also canceled, which is crazy because it's like critically acclaimed the last season.
And season three was great.
I know. I don't get it. But they said also, I read a report that it might also be going to Disney.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. They want to do their own streaming service, and they're getting all the good Marvel properties.
Yeah. I just can't believe all of those actors, like, they're such big names, lose their jobs like that. It's
Does
so
that mean
weird.
They're going to bring over, like, a Legion and Runaways also, maybe?
Runaways still has a big contract with Hulu.
Okay.
So, but I don't know what's going to happen with Legion, because that's FX. I'm going to guess it's going to be its last season, too. Because, like, I know Gotham is separate because this is DC, but that also got canceled as well.
Wow.
And that had huge numbers.
Yeah.
But, well.
I wonder if we hit peak comic book. You always knew it was good.
I know. It's got to end at some point.
They can't keep coming out with three new series and six comic book movies every year, you know? Like, it's got to stop somewhere. Not stop, but like you got to retract a little bit. And
I don't know. There's just always a new list.
Yeah.
Like we
and
saw,
now, with them adapting all the like Millar World and more Image, but didn't they just announce Saga also is in development?
Saga's in development.
So now
and
all the
Paper
Image
Girls.
Stuff is starting to get picked up, and
I mean every
Hellboy's
day
getting Image. A new Hellboy getting a new iteration.
Yeah, Hellboy is in trouble. I think I don't know what's going on with that. Man. They're having a lot of problems filming that show or that movie.
Yeah, the first. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think they ever needed to make a new one, anyways.
Yeah,
or at least keep Del Toro on it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Image, we also heard that Infidel, that horror comic book, is getting made. They already hired a director. It's already screenplay has been written.
Sweet.
So, I mean, it's just more and more every day. Like a new thing comes out. It's pretty crazy. We had one more thing too. I think.
Oh, Jupiter's Legacy.
Jupiter's Legacy.
Yeah,
we mentioned earlier. Yeah, they have Marina Baccarin.
Yep, and.
Who was the other guy?
Eric Bana, baby.
Oh, Eric Bana.
Yes. Yes. One of my favorite actors,
really?
And I think a very underrated actor.
He's so boring.
He can be, yeah.
He's like, talk about no expression. He is a very expressionless actor.
Yeah, yeah.
And the worst Hulk ever.
He was pretty good.
He was terrible.
I mean, out of the three, I think he's better than TV show than whoever played.
Oh, well, that doesn't count.
The
then
TV
there's
show.
Four.
Wait,
including
who else?
A TV show. Edward Norton.
Oh, Edward Norton, yeah.
Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
And then TV show guy, I guess.
Yeah.
Edward Norton was
better.
But he
was so good in Chopper. I'll always love him because of Chopper.
Oh, my God. All right. Oh, my God. Also, Plastic Man movie in development.
Oh.
What the fuck?
Okay.
That'll be the weirdest movie.
Yeah.
I hope they take it in the weirdest direction ever.
I would say, if they did it sort of like take it in the same direction as the Jim Carrey mask.
Yeah.
If it's like a weirdo, like screwball
even
comedy.
Weirder.
Yeah.
Like, just do wacky as possible.
Yeah.
Like The Mask and Cool World.
Yeah.
Like more adult.
Yeah, one of those things where it's like almost it's set in like a parallel reality.
Yeah, totally.
And everything's crazy.
Yeah. That would be great. Let's see if they wrote anything about it. No, they're just like, see, it's in development.
Okay. Well, hopefully they'll hire Gail Simone as like a consulting producer or writer or something.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Yeah. Oh my God.
Or maybe Kyle Baker, like some of the other.
Oh yeah, totally.
Lunatics who have worked on Plastic Man.
Well, I think that's it for now, guys. Make sure you keep looking up about our show, our live show, which is going to be January 31st.
Yeah, Ghost Town Brewery.
Mm-hmm. 8 p.m. We'll have more details in the weeks to come.
Yeah.
But right now, lots of live fun.
Yeah.
With lots of guests. And people will be Skyping in. There'll be people there. We're going to be doing trivia and prizes and comedians.
Mm-hmm.
So much stuff, guys.
Audience participation.
Yeah. Beer
Fantastic
drinking.
Fantastic guests. Yeah, we might have a beer drinking contest.
Yeah.
Or just, it doesn't even have to be a competitive thing. Just a cooperative beer drinking experience.
Yeah.
Where we all chug beer.
We
together.
All chug beer, like Thor. I'm pretty good. I do it for a living. All right, that's it for now. I'm Jessica Valabone.
And I'm Jesse Hitt.
I'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.